With the ringing of the church bell, we welcome you to this hour of worship as it comes to you from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs, Missouri. On this ninth Sunday after Pentecost, our hymns this morning are 763, 538, 535, 544, and 809. Pastor Alan Mueller's sermon is entitled Geometry of God's Love, taken from Ephesians 3, verses 14 through 21. Welcome, and may our Lord bless our worship this morning.
Good morning. And welcome to Emmanuel Lutheran Church. It's great to be here with all of you this morning, for it is here where the body of Christ gathers together to hear God's word and to receive his precious promises that he has for us. And a special welcome to all the guests and visitors we have with us who are here in connection with the baptism of baby Greer this morning, as she is going to be received into the Lord's family through the waters of holy baptism and to receive the blessings of God upon her. We rejoice this morning in God's mercy and in his immeasurable love that he shows towards us each and every day. We sing our first hymn, number 763. The congregation, please stand as you're able. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Beloved, Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Matthew, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." In the last chapter of Mark, our Lord promises, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved." And the Apostle Peter has written, "Baptism now saves you." The Word of God also teaches that we are all born and conceived sinful and under the power of the devil until Christ claims us as his own. We would be lost forever unless delivered from sin, death, and everlasting condemnation. But the Father of all mercy and grace has sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to atone for the sins of the world. So whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. This morning, Greer is being brought forth this morning to be baptized and to receive into these countless blessings of our Lord. Greer Leanne Rosker, receive the sign of the cross both upon your forehead and upon your heart to mark you as one redeemed in Christ Jesus our Lord. From ancient times, the church has observed the custom of appointing sponsors for baptismal candidates. In the Evangelical Lutheran Church, sponsors are to confess the faith expressed in the Apostles' Creed and taught in the Small Catechism. They are, whenever possible, to witness the baptism of those they sponsor. They are to pray for them, support them in their ongoing instruction in the Christian faith, and encourage them toward the faithful reception of the Lord's Supper. They are at all times to be examples to them in the holy life of faith in Christ and the love of our neighbor. For you, Greer's sponsor, Zach, is it your intention to serve Greer as a sponsor and in this way and to serve in the Christian faith? If so, answer yes with the help of God.
Yes, with the help of God.
May God enable you to both will and to do this faithful and loving work. And with his grace, may he fulfill what we are unable to do ourselves. Amen. Since Greer is unable with words to express the Christian faith, let us confess it together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. If I can see if Greer will let me hold her. Oh, wow. Very easy. Greer Leanne Rosker, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. May the Lord strengthen you to life everlasting until he calls you home to be with him in paradise. Amen. And to the congregation, I now present to you our dearest sister in Christ, Greer Leanne Rosker. Can we show our appreciation to God? Hand this back to you. On behalf of the congregation, we'd like to present to you the white cloth that was used to baptize her, to remind her of the righteousness of Christ's robe that has been put upon her. Likewise, we have our baptismal certificate displaying the place and the time that Greer was baptized. And lastly, the ladies of the congregation would like to present her with an engraved cross that has her name and baptismal date upon it. These are for her to remember that Christ has indeed redeemed her and saved her and forgiven all of her sins. Would the congregation please stand and join us in prayer? Almighty and most merciful Father, we thank and praise you that you have graciously preserved and enlarged your family. We praise you for having granted your beloved daughter the new birth through the waters of holy baptism and have made her a member of your heavenly kingdom. We humbly implore you that as Greer grows, you would keep her in her baptismal grace and according to your good pleasure, lead her into a godly life to the praise and honor of your holy name. And finally, with all your saints, to obtain the promised inheritance in heaven, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. In the congregation, we actually remain standing for the psalm of the day. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works, I will meditate. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness, and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. On the glorious splendor of your majesty, and on your wondrous works, I will meditate. Thank you. Glory be to God on high. With you. Let us pray. Almighty and most merciful God, the protector of all who trust in you, strengthen our faith and give us courage to believe that in your love you will rescue us from all adversities. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated as we get to hear from God's Word. The Old Testament reading for this night, Sunday after Pentecost, comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 9. God said to Noah and his sons with him, "Behold, I establish my covenant with you and your offspring after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the livestock, and every beast of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark. It is for every beast of the earth. I establish my covenant with you, that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth, and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle reading comes from the book of Ephesians, chapter 3. "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, To him be glory in the church, and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the Alleluia verse. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter. Glory be to you, O Lord. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had taken leave of them, he went up on the mountain to pray. And when evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and he was alone on the land. And he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. He meant to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost, and cried out. For they all saw him, and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." And he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased. And they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret and marooned to the shore. And when they got out of the boat, the people immediately recognized him and ran about the whole region and began to bring the sick people on their beds to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he came, in villages, cities, or countryside, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and implored him that they might touch even the fringe of his garment. And as many as touched it were made well. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated, and at this time I invite the children forward for a children's message. Good morning. Good to be here with you. I have brought something with me. Do any of you know what this is? You do know? You think? This is a ruler. Do you know what we do with rulers? No? So we measure things exactly. If we want to know the length of something, we can just pull out a ruler and it will tell us exactly how long it is. And so I want to measure something with all of you today. I think we can do it. It'll be pretty easy. I brought with me a tissue box. It looks pretty square, right? It's a cube, yeah? This is a cube tissue box. And so let's see how long this tissue box is. If we just hold the box out and we take our ruler and we just put it right there, can anyone read what that number says? 5. Okay, so this tissue box has a length of 5 inches. Now, let's see if we can do another side. Let's do its height. Let's see how tall this tissue box is. As we can see, it's about halfway between the number 4 and the number 5. So we would say this is about 4.5 inches tall. And then lastly, let's see, there's one more side we can measure. Let's see how wide it is. If we now move the ruler this way, it too looks to be about 4 to 4.5 inches wide. So I think that's pretty easy, right? I think we managed to get through it together. But sometimes things are easy to measure, like boxes. But every once in a while, there are things that we just can't measure. And personally, there is something that I've always wanted to be able to measure. You know what that is? It is the amount that God loves you. That's something that we can't just put a ruler to and see how much does God love us. We can't just set up a ruler and show us everything that he has done for us. But and yet, what we do know, we have the next best thing. Because although we can't measure it with a ruler, God has himself told us how much he loves us. And he says he has loved us infinitely big. You know, we have the small tissue box, it's like this big. But if we talk about the love of God, imagine something more infinitely that is going on and on forever in one direction, on and on forever in the other direction, and on and on and on upwards. That's how much God loves you. And he loves you so much that he sent his son to die for us. Jesus came to die so that we might have eternal life with him. If you would please join me in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you indeed love us. And we thank you that we are your children that you care for and provide for. For you have given us friends and family. You have given us a house and food and clothes. We ask that you would continue to be with us. Help us to love you as you have loved us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Alrighty, thank you so much. You can return to your seats, and while you're at it, you can grab a piece of candy. In the congregation, we are going to sing our next hymn, number 535. Well, this morning, dear friends, we have been invited into the heavenly classroom. For the Apostle Paul has invited us to sit in on this holy lecture. And he's invited us, of all things, to learn geometry. Now, I don't want to scare anyone off too early, and I don't know what everyone's experiences were with math in school, but I do know that math for many is a difficult subject. But the mathematics that we are looking at today is of a heavenly origin. For we are studying the geometry of God's love. And although we could certainly take college-level classes that one could take upon this single subject, we are rather this morning going to be focusing on the rudimentary aspects of it today. Note before we jump in, though, as someone who's personally called to equip the saints for good works, and as someone who stands here called to preach the word, and someone who's called to teach the full counsel of God's word, I do feel compelled to say one thing on this subject on the outset. That we should indeed strive to take those deeper level classes, to take our learning of God to a deeper level. And although we'll be focusing on the elementary principles of God's love this morning, as Christians, though, we should still strive to learn those deeper elements. For the Apostle Paul would encourage everyone, according to their ability, to advance through, to graduate from the rudimentary knowledge of God, and to advance through the higher and higher levels of knowledge and thinking. For why must the apostle for 60 years lay nothing but foundation stones for the same people? Why should the grown and matured Christian eat and drink nothing but spiritual milk? And why must the one who's been a Christian for 40 years remain swimming in the kiddie pool? For as Jesus says, it's those who have no depth that are prone to fall away. The one who has no depth of soil. Those whose roots of knowledge and faith and understanding of God go only inches deep. These are the ones who most easily get scorched by the heat of life's trials. But rather, as Christians, we're called to be both rooted and planted. Our calling is one to grow. For we are being also built up upon the rock. And if worldly men should so readily press on in earthly understanding, how much more then should we press onward and upward into heavenly truths? For a great many of people, they view religious knowledge as if it were totally unsubstantial. And yet in our epistle reading, Paul refers to the things of God, namely this morning his love, as something fully substantial. In fact, he speaks of it as something that is entirely tangible. In fact, it has length and breadth and height and depth. Surely, Paul's thinking, the things of God are even more substantial than anything that we can see with our own eyes. For the things that are visible, that which we can see, is temporal. They are as fleeting as shadows. But the things that are not seen, the invisible truths of God, those, he says, are eternal. They themselves are surer than the mountains and the foundations of the earth. Everyone should be striving to learn more and more about these heavenly topics. Many may push back, saying that even a little knowledge and truth of God should prove to save sinners. And they say that even those with faith as a mustard seed should reach heaven's shores. And while it's true that even a watered log ship shall make it to the harbor of safety when Jesus is at the helm, why, though, should we not desire the greater blessing? For those who are blessed with the faculties of reason, should we not desire to be more as ships with mighty sails? Should we not seek to eat spiritual meat? Should we not dive and wade into the depths of God's glory? Or should we not grow up spiritually strong and to become fathers and mothers of the faith? Paul would encourage each of us this morning to essentially graduate from the schoolhouse of divinity. He should have us grow up to get that bachelor's degree in God's Word, to get a master's degree in divine trust, and to get a PhD in the full assurance of faith and salvation. For it's when our understanding is deepened through experience, through prayer and meditation, that we come to the full assurance of God's everlasting love towards us. Those who remain babes and infants in the knowledge of God's love and word, the same may readily fall by the way when trials overtake them. And now with this as our backdrop then, let us this morning give ear to the lesson that lies before us. And so do we come now to the lesson of our geometry, or the heavenly geometry. For as Paul said, may we comprehend what is the breadth and length and height and depth of the love of Christ Jesus. Oh, Paul says that we would come to know its breadth. Right off the bat, this is most clearly a subject that still many people need to study. There's so many people whose understanding of God's love is nowhere near wide enough. Their views of God's love, it would seem, are just so narrow. They have no understanding of the magnitude of the breadth of God's love. And instead of picturing it as a mighty rushing river, they see his love as if it were just a narrow brook. There are people today like the Jehovah Witnesses who utterly fail to see the breadth of God's love. And their lack of belief and understanding, they claim that only 144,000 people shall be saved. But truly, does God's love extend beyond the breadth of our human understanding? Namely, that God should save a multitude that no one can number. A multitude far outnumbering the stars in heaven and the sands on the seashore. God's love is like a flooded river that is pouring over the riverbanks. The streams of his love wash over and flood even into the plains. Even you and I who dwell in the plains of sin, even we should be overcome by the mighty breadth of God's love. In fact, the breadth of his love should prove less like a river and rather instead more like an ocean, for it washes against all shores and people groups. Such is its breadth that extends to all ranks, classes, and races of people. For the love of God isn't so narrow that it stops short of the Gentiles, but it washes over and reaches even us this morning. For the love of Christ is broad enough to reach even the thief, the drunkard, the blasphemers, the fornicators, the adulterers, and the murderers. For as Christ said, all sin of blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. And the only boundary that's in place is the sin of unbelief and unrepentance unto death. But even here, we may not stop measuring the breadth of God's love. For you may look still further and see its breadth. It makes him interested in all the things of man. For God is interested in everything that concerns you. Your very hairs even he numbers. your steps, he orders. And there is nothing concerning you, his beloved, that is unimportant to him. Your cars and fields, your homes and family, your jobs and food pantries, your children and little ones, your life and health. Everything concerning you, the good Lord cares deeply about. See the breadth of the Almighty's love, for it knows no bounds. Its love surpasses knowledge, Paul says, for it extends even into the vast affections he has for you. For he feels your afflictions. He grieves when his little ones are hurting. He's pained when our ways are not good for us nor for our neighbors. Truly, then, the breadth of God's love is beyond measure when we look upon even the gifts that he has then brought to bear upon our lives. No one can even fathom its breadth as it carries to you God's many gifts. For it brings to you justification, sanctification, eternal life, and even adoption into his family. And then see next the length of Jesus' love. If Christ were to have thought about humanity for 5 minutes, it would have seemed to us to be a wonderful condescension. And for the infinite to think upon the finite, to think upon me for even 60 seconds, that would already be a love longer than I would have expected. But try, if you can, to grasp the true length of God's love. For his love is not measured in minutes or hours. It's not measured in years or in millennia. For as the Lord has said himself, I have loved you with an everlasting love. If you were to seek to measure the length of God's love, you would have to first look down the telescope of time. If you were to see the length of God's love towards you, you would likely begin at your conception. For truly, you would say you have been fearfully and wonderfully made and knitted together in your mother's womb. But that length itself is not even a fraction of the true length of God's love for you. For you must look even farther back. Perhaps you would then be tempted to stop short again, this time at the cross. For there you shall be tempted to say that this is the fountainhead of God's love for me. But even then, we must go farther back still. For we must be reminded that God so loved the world that he gave his Son. There had to be a love, therefore, before that giving. But don't stop there either. Look back further to the prophets for thousands of years as they talked about how Christ should bear the sins of his people. Even in the Garden of Eden was it promised that the seed of the woman would bruise the serpent's head. But as you continue looking farther and farther back, you would soon realize that no telescope can go far enough. For the length of God's love is without measure, and you would have to look beyond time and space, back when nothing existed except God himself. Examine every inch of his love, and you will not find a single gap within the chain. There won't be a single weak link. God's love is without break from beginning to end, and it continues on into eternity. In both directions, even, God's love can't be measured. For having loved his own, he says, I have loved them to the end. And again it said, the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. He says, I am God, I do not change. He says that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's no ifs or buts. The length of God's love is from eternity past to eternity future. And real quick then, we must now go through both the depths and heights of God's love. Seek to measure these, and you will quickly realize how incomprehensible these blessed dimensions are of God's love. Its breadth and length, we can at least begin to understand. We have a good vantage point for those dimensions. But where can we even begin to measure its depths and heights? What vantage point can we use? What starting point can we begin with? For can man even begin to comprehend the depths of which Christ has gone? For Jesus has stooped to depths unimaginable. From unattainable heights, he has plunged into the very depths of pain. To understand the depths of God's love, we must rightly see Jesus as the man of sorrows. We must see him as the man acquainted with grief and who's bearing our sins. The depths of Christ's love that brought him to take upon himself the iniquities of the world. And as he stands as our substitute, condemned to die on our behalf. See the measure and the depths of his love as the waves of hell roll over him, and as the eternal wrath of the Father is inflicted upon his body. The depths of God's agony are without measure, and so we cannot measure the depths of his love. For we can never go deeper where his love can't reach. Nor could you ever sin so badly that his loving kindness could not reach you. God's love shall reach you still with full forgiveness of sins, for he is able to save to the uttermost those who trust in him. And like the depths, so too are the heights. His love shall reach us into the heavens. His love shall bear us into the height of all glory, lifting us into the highest heavens for all eternity. The good Lord shall bear us up to dwell with Christ above, as the world is judged in a blazing heat below. See the height of God's love, as we shall be heirs of God himself. What higher heights can one ever obtain? What higher heights can one ever wish to measure? The Lord shall love us up into the third heaven, where we shall dwell with the Lord forever. Dear friends, it is good for the people of God to familiarize themselves with the fourfold dimension of God's love. Advance through those rudimentary principles and meditate upon the love of God all the days of your life. For its breadth is immeasurable, its length is eternal, its depths are immeasurable, its breadth immense, if I said, and its height is lastly infinite. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. At this time, we sing our next hymn. At this time, we worship God with our offerings. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the love and kindness that you have shown towards us. And we praise you for revealing yourself to us so that we may come into a right relationship with you. As you have graciously condescended to our level, be with us that we may come to see your grace, mercy, and love. As you have lowered yourself in order for us to grasp you, send your spirit upon us to enlighten us in this truth. Be with us as we continue to receive your gracious revelation. As creatures of dust, lead us to cherish and love all the things that you have revealed about yourself. As creatures who have been called into a loving relationship with you, lead us into seeking to know you and your ways better. Lead us to advance in the knowledge of you, and help us to see you as the one who graciously came down to our level and to die on the cross for us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And God of all love, as we think upon your love and compassion, lead us into full assurance that in you there is no fear. In you there is no lacking or want or need. Give us the confidence that as recipients of your love, for us, that we would know that it is everlasting. Give us the confidence that in you, we have all that we need for life, and all that we do have, you have given us according to your infinite wisdom. For you are working all things together for our good. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And gracious Lord, we pray that you would continue to be with all of your children, continue to be with the Rosker family and baby Greer, be with Greer especially as she continues to grow in faith and in body, keep her in your everlasting arms all the days of her life, so that she may grow up in faith, maturity, and character, so that she may serve and glorify you. We further ask that you would be with everyone who is hurting in body and spirit. Look after all who are on our hearts and minds this morning. Loving Father, you know the people and needs of everyone that we now lift before you at this time. Continue your mighty work of repentance, forgiveness, and healing in them. Be in our midst to strengthen our brothers and sisters bodily and spiritually. Grow us closer together and build us up into a body of believers. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For these and for all our needs of body and soul, we ask of you, gracious Father, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Taught by our Lord and trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. If you would receive the blessing of our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen. You may be seated for our departing hymn.